This morning, we get to just dive further into the Christmas season, and I am so excited to talk to you about Mary this morning. And it's so easy to, you know, forget what Christmas is all about. And that's why we're practicing Advent, actually. The season of Advent, lighting the candles. Maybe this is totally new to you. It's funny, I don't know why this happened, but I get Advent calendars, you know, like the little chocolate ones every single year. This year I didn't, but like every year I get them. And I did not clue into any which way that Advent we practice here is the same Advent word in the Advent calendar. And so I was like, oh my goodness, it's just silly how I missed that one. But anyways, Advent, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about Advent because it comes from the Latin word Adventus, meaning arrival. And the season of Advent then is the season of the anticipation of the arrival. It's exciting, and you know, you can see all the lights and the Christmas that's happening out there, and you anticipate Christmas Day showing up. In the same way, we're anticipating Christ when we join together here. And so Christmas, it's important, it's special. And I don't know why, but I feel a really great anticipation this year. I think partly into what Pastor Matt said about looking at second service as well, that God is up to something really special and really cool, and especially this Christmas season. And so getting to join together with you guys in community is just as important. And Advent is a time to wait, to celebrate, to expect, and to remember. And more than just remembering Jesus' birth this morning, we're going to remember the other pieces to the story of Jesus' birth that are just as important as well. And I think a challenge we face today is reflecting the story of Jesus' birth on our life here and now. I mean, this was 2,000 years ago. Everything in that story was different, different era, different everything, different time. And when we look at the life of Mary, she has a lot more to do with you and me than we may think. Either maybe we don't think much of her, or maybe we think a lot of her because she is a really important person. And so to get to journey through this is going to be great. But let me be the first to say that Mary's story, it's pretty weird. It is a very unique kind of story that honestly we don't see often in Scripture. In different ways, we see God working in similar ways. But when we look at Mary's story, we ask, why her? Why is Mary so special? And I think part of the story and what we gain is that she is actually not that special. Yes, she is, and I'll get into that in a minute. But at least she's not as special in the way we think today. And God intended for that. He had a purpose behind that. Because think of it this way. Shouldn't Jesus, being who he is, the Savior, the Messiah, the promised Messiah showing up in the world, that's how we understand it, shouldn't Jesus be sent to someone who's maybe a little bit more financially stable? Maybe someone who, you know, has a lot of support with them? Someone who will be ready to take on this endeavor of raising a child? Wouldn't that just make more sense? Someone who has it all figured out, someone who's married, who will look okay to others that this is happening, and especially for Jesus, the Savior, God born to this earth. Shouldn't there be a massive celebration? Shouldn't we load up the football stadiums, 80,000 people, and celebrate Jesus coming to this earth? Well, that's what we think today. But Mary's story is not like that. And that is what makes her so special. And because God is up to something in her story that he knew very well who he was choosing for this task, who God was seeking for to choose in someone on earth for this task. And Mary, she's called the mother of our Savior. Man, I couldn't get away from that title this week, just how beautiful that sounds. And maybe it's something that I haven't thought of often. Because I think it's easy for us to shrug Mary off in this story because, well, in the Bible, in God's word, we don't have a gospel of Mary. We don't have a letter written by Mary. Mary didn't write anything in the Bible. But we see her show up in this story. Just a few chapters in which we read the birth of our Savior. But what Mary does for us is she shows us the beauty of what it means to accept Christ. Mary shows us the beauty of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Mary shows us the beauty of a life with Jesus at the center of it. Christ in you, literally in her. And so as we journey through this story, would you open your heart to the normality of this supernatural story? And let's go together. I'm excited. Mary's story, it starts with another miracle from God. there's this priestly couple, and they're named Zechariah and Elizabeth, and they've not been able to bear a child for their whole marriage together. And let me tell you, they're old. They are getting very old. And so even the fact of considering a child is just escaping them all the more. And there's this miracle that happens. And I mean, science today would tell us that they must have just been dealing with infertility. That must have been the reason why. But Zechariah and Elizabeth, they're constantly trying to have a child. And in the culture of that time, it was really looked down upon to not have a child. And so you have Zechariah and Elizabeth who are in this very prestigious priestly duties with where they are. And to not have a child, there's a lot to their story that I won't go into, but this one's important. Because when Zechariah was performing his temple duties, he was met by an angel. And it's interesting, because this, if there's an angel on the scene, anywhere you read in Scripture, it's very, very important. And you get to see the interaction with them. And it is a good signal that God is doing something. And we arrive at Mary's story, starting with her being visited by an angel as well. And in this, it reads this in Luke chapter 1. It says this: in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." So here's Mary, a very young girl engaged to a man, and she's just been told she's going to be a mother. And we also read in the story that she's a virgin too. So this gets all the more interesting and weird when we read it this way. And we're not told Mary's age, but for Mary to be known as a virgin means that she's in her teen years and younger. 18 and younger, and that is early, early on. And so why is God choosing someone who, to the rest of the world, looks really like a bad thing about to happen? Because they would have looked at Mary, they would have looked and seen what's happening, and the way that culture impacted them, it's not like gossip and slander only showed up in our world today. It would have been back then too. And so the slander, the image, the gossip, the struggles of an upcoming marriage, the image of Joseph, this honestly sounds like a wild soap opera waiting to happen. Where Mary, we have her sitting here on the scene, this young girl about to have a baby, and there should be no physical way we can think of how this could happen. There shouldn't be, and there isn't. But there's something key that God is setting up, because not only does God choose Mary, God brings the angel Gabriel to meet Mary in favor with God. And that's a very important word. Mary is favored because she is the recipient of God's grace. And the grace in view here is that which is given to all believers apart from any merit of theirs. Look at what Mary's about to have happen to her, what everyone would say about her, the amount of sin that people would profess over her life, yet she's being met with grace, favor from God, by no merit of hers. As both a woman and a young person not yet married, Mary had virtually no social status at all. Neither the title favored or graced one, nor the promise "the Lord is with you" was traditional in greetings in that time. No one would meet anyone with that. And even if she had been a person of status, she would not have been met with those greetings. And so this is pointing to the fact that Mary is so unique. Unique because she's not. I love it. I love how we're getting to this place. Because God's choice, it's not based on human acceptability. God's choice is based on his way, on what he sees and what he knows. He knows about you and me. That's where his choice lays. Because God, he sees the character of who Mary is. Does God not know the struggles that Mary will have to go through? Does God not know the harm that will come to Mary, whether through words or physical harm? Why would God, why would you put someone through this? Why would you do this to a person? Sound familiar? I think we ask that question a lot today. But God knows and God sees the character of who Mary is, knows exactly what he's asking of her, and knows how she's going to respond. And we read about Zechariah as well. And these two stories, Zechariah and Mary, their stories contrast, and there's one difference in both of them to which I'll get in a second. But let's read Luke 1, 34 to 38. It says this. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. In Zechariah's story, in this most recent miracle, we read of one who should have had merit to respond to God in a holy and servant manner. Zechariah, the one who knew God's word, who preached God's word, who lived out the temple duties, fulfilling the law, following the law, doing what he was supposed to, his response should have been that of Mary's, but it wasn't. In Zechariah's story, he hears from the angel, and he responds to the angel in disbelief. Rightfully so. He's an old man. He's like, "Yeah, I don't think this can happen, God. I don't know how this is going to happen." And he responds in that way. But Zechariah, like I said, he's a priest, a devout follower of God, not much to lose. He listens to the angel and says, "It's not possible." In Mary's miracle, she's not just receiving a son, but she's told she's receiving the Son of God. And now this term, Son of God, it represents the fulfillment of a few meanings that's happening that Mary would have had to ponder through as she was hearing this from the angel. Not just then, but the whole time she was pregnant as well. Because there's promises made to David's lineage in the Old Testament, King David, which we read in the first verses, where the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And so we see David's lineage. And in the Old Testament, it is promised that David's lineage will reign on the throne forever. And so that's a fulfillment part, Son of God, we're seeing here fulfilled. But this also brings the second fulfillment within the term, the Son of God, where the angel is giving affirmation to the importance of who this is. This is not just a son. This is the Son of God. So how much more should that bring disbelief? Even more than just having a son who she's not married to. It should bring so much more disbelief. And for us, there's great importance to this understanding of God, but to understanding how to follow God is greatly shown through what should have been unbelief. To hear this crazy thing that's about to happen to Mary should bring in our logical, rational brain unbelief. But it didn't. And so, when you contrast the two stories, the only difference between the two is that Mary responds by saying, "I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Zechariah didn't. And in Zechariah's story, you hear that God took his voice from him. But Mary, she keeps her voice. And what she does with her voice after is all the more beautiful. God is not asking Mary to trust blindly, but to trust to the promises of the Word of God. Because God's Word will never fail. And it was after she heard that where she knew God will not fail her. It says the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The word of God will never fail. Mary is not going into this alone, and she knows it well. She's told that there is someone else who knows and will understand. And when she goes to meet with Elizabeth, she sees that because she's met with this beautiful welcoming from Elizabeth who says, "I know what you carry. I know who you carry. You carry the Lord." So Elizabeth understands too. She understands what God is asking of Mary, and she assures Mary that this is the plan that God has for her. And sometimes we often think that God is asking us just to give up all that's in sight and just go into it. but it's God's word that's fulfilled, and there's an assurance and protection in his word, like what we were singing this morning, that fear is cast out and his word remains. There's a depth to this, you guys, that we cannot overlook this Christmas season, that we can't let slip by, that we need to hold on to. And when Zechariah's words were taken away, this is what Mary does with her words when they're not taken away. She responds with a song of praise, and this praise is a beautiful, beautiful thing. In Luke 1, 46 to 54, it says this, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me." Oh. "He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful, for he has made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." It's fascinating. Mary looks completely past herself, her struggles, what she's going through, to lift up praise to God. I don't know if I could do that. I like to think I could. I like to stand here and say I could. But I could tell you a lot more times when I've gone through some struggles and I've just been frustrated, upset, confused. Why is this happening to me? Rather than explaining who Christ is in her life. Exactly what Mary does. The story of Mary, it reflects what many of us need to see and to understand in the world today. God's work, hear this, God's work is a great reversal of all the principalities and powers we see today. This praise is the great reversal of what God is doing through the not special, through the unique, through the normal. Mary brings into an era where the humble are uplifted, the proud are brought low, the poor are given much, and the rich leave with nothing. Things that God has done then and he is doing now. What Jesus came to do, Mary is actually representing that even now. These things, maybe she's in the middle of rich and poor. Maybe she's in the middle of humble and proud. Maybe she's that. But we see this girl, this young girl, who is low, who should not be having a child, who does not have the means and understanding to raise a child, and she is being raised up to greatness because she said yes. She said yes to what God wants for her. And as we've just gone through Jesus' life and ministry in the God story we've been preaching through this whole past year, at some point, we were through Jesus' life and ministry. We constantly see him teaching in ways that were so contrary to how people understood life in that time. Constantly, he was going against, butting heads with Pharisees, people who should know and understand. And he was saying other ways that are so much better than the ways we know and understand. And Mary fulfills this because who is she? A young teenager who's giving birth in a village, in an area that is nothing like Rome or Athens or Greece, not of royalty, not of a prominent priest, but a girl that said yes to God. When we look from the outside in, it's easy to hide behind and, you know, ease behind these words, a few words we read of what Mary wrestled with as she said yes to God, but it wouldn't have been easy. It's not like we just see Mary said yes. No, it's not that easy. She understands as much as we do how insane and crazy this all sounds. And she would have felt that as well. And I've never been placed in a situation quite like hers for obvious reasons. I could not understand in any capacity what that could be like. But I know we're placed in a lot of situations today where we are required to say yes to God. Do we? Do we always? Do I always? Do we say yes to God, or do we pass it because it's too inconvenient, or it's too scary, or that he's asking too much? Do we pass it? That's an important question to ask. Not only is Jesus the ultimate sign of the messianic age of what Christ came to do, but Mary is too, to show that a life with Christ in you changes who you are, how you understand, how you believe, what you say, what you do. Mary is the transformation we wish to have, we wish to see in our lives. Where we would say no to God, Mary's the one who said yes to God. Where we're the ones to doubt God, she's the one who did not doubt God. That's why she's the first disciple of Jesus. She had Christ and accepted Christ into her life before anyone. And that's a beautiful thing. And what kind of person does it take to say yes to God when it won't look good, when it will be inconvenient, or when you may be looked down on? It's the kind of person who desires the life of Christ within their lives. And if that's your desire, to have Christ in your life, you can receive him today. You can accept him into your life. And it could be scary. It could seem inconvenient. There could be lots of doubts around it. But God's promises remains true. His word will not fail. And the Bible is filled with beautiful things of where he will protect you. He will not leave you. We talked about at youth on Thursday, faith over fear. And it's said over 100 times to fear not in some capacity. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. It is God understands fear. And he says, I got you. I've got you. What Christ came to do was not only make a way for us to the Father, but to make a way for us to live the life that he promised us here on earth. This little baby in a manger is the impossible made possible. The life you can envision yourself living. That was my prayer to God this morning, actually. I envision a life for myself I want to live, but guys, I struggle with doubts too. I struggle with fear too. But I know who has me in his hands. And Mary's struggles, listen, they wouldn't have stopped at the time of Jesus' birth. Jesus was a baby, and mothers, I know you know the crying, the teething, the attitude, the growth, all of the pains that follow. She would have had to deal with that as well. It wasn't just journeying with Jesus for 2 chapters of the Bible. It was for years of his life. Mary bore those struggles. She continued on. She did all her motherly duties. It was not yes into an ease of life, but a yes to the Father who blessed her with the task set ahead of her. And God, he's not going to look at all the merits of your life to call you into his will and plan for your life. God, he looks at your heart. Do you want Jesus in your life? This is the Christmas invitation. The invitation that Mary first accepted is reflected on each of us today. And the good thing is if you accepted Jesus already, you get a chance to continue to be transformed. Or if you haven't accepted Christ already, you have a chance now, next week, next year, whenever you're ready to see the goodness of who he is. He's ready for you, and he's waiting for you to take the heart of Mary and say, yes, may your word be done unto me. Mary had Christ in her life, and it was evident through the heart that she showed God. And God wants to bring us to a place where our trust in him recognizes that his way are higher than our ways, that how we perceive the choices we make in life, it should reflect a trust in him that he will look after us. He will cover us, and through all the struggles he asks of us, we will find the greatest blessing through it all. A baby in a manger. Isaiah writes in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That's God. He's thinking way more than I am. I can tell you that. His thoughts are nothing like our thoughts. His thoughts about you, his thoughts around the world, about how he sees the world and what needs to happen in the world. And his ways are far beyond anything we could imagine. And there's goodness in who he is. Mary chose to trust in God, his ways, his desires for her life, his protection and guidance for her life, and she never turned back. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, how do I get to that point? How can I make it there when all my choices, everything I do, anytime I meet with God, it just doesn't seem like it gets anywhere. And I can be there. I've been there. I know what it's like. But I also know what it's like to push through no matter what and to keep going, to keep seeking. God says, knock and I will answer, and keep knocking and I will answer. Guys, God will not be silent forever. In your life, in the world around us, he will not be silent forever. He's speaking to your heart now. He wants you. He wants to bring you in and to show you his goodness, his hope, his joy, his love, his peace. And like I said, the kind of person it takes is the one who says yes. And I wish I could, give you the formula of the ease to say yes. But it's not easy sometimes. But I can tell you it will always be good in the end. It always will be. And if God did the impossible for Mary and countless other biblical characters, he will do the impossible for you. Will you trust in his way or respond in disbelief? And to trust in God's way requires you to respond with the acceptance that you are his, that what he has said about you will come to pass, and his will be done in your life.